everyone. This is Molly Douthat.
And David Douthat.
Welcome to More Than Hearing, a podcast to encourage preachers to use multiple intelligences in sermons and worship leadership, because there are plenty of ways to reach someone's soul.
Today's podcast will cover lectionary selections for the 11th Sunday in Ordinary Time, or Proper 6, or Pentecost plus 4, Year B. Paul lays the foundation for substitutionary atonement and a new creation in 2 Corinthians 5. And Jesus offers parables of seeds and growth to explain God's kingdom. We'll try to make a new creation out of your preaching with some multiple intelligence parables of our own. Come on along.
We have established this podcast based on Dr. Howard Gardner's theory of multiple intelligences. Dr. Gardner suggests that there are multiple ways to learn, process, remember, and understand our world. Each week we develop illustrations and special effects for the weekly readings of the Revised Common Lectionary that use various smarts based on Dr. Gardner's identified intelligences. We call them word smart, eye smart, math smart, body smart, music smart, nature smart, people smart, and self smart. You can read more about Dr. Gardner's work by clicking on the link at the top of our webpage.
As we read and reflect on the scripture passages for each week, we explore ways these intelligences can be utilized for a deeper appreciation of God's word. Anytime and any way we make use of the different smarts, we give people greater access to the Word of God so they can acquire it, process it, and internalize it in ways that make sense to them. So let's get started.
The New Testament lesson for Year B Ordinary 11 is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We've got some chunks of verses here. It starts with verses 6 to 10, skips over 11 through 13, and then ends with 14 through 17. If you choose to do so, you could use 6 to 17. The lectionary divvies it up that way. We did not do anything with that middle section, but we do have it on the worksheet, so you can see what is there. We instead went with the first and second sections. And the first section has that very famous verse 7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." And then the second one is about we no longer regard anyone from a human point of view. And in Christ there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. So we have some illustrations and special effects for you to consider with these with these verses. We have a special effect in eye smart, an illustration in math smart, both in body smart, both in music, and a special effect in self smart. So I'm going to actually start us off with eye smart. I think we may have suggested trying this before. I know I have talked about this so many times over the course of my ministry that it could be I just talked about it someplace else and have no idea whether or not we did it here. But in verse 16, where we talk about no longer regarding anyone from a human point of view, here is an interesting special effect you can do. If anyone still has their eclipse glasses left over from the eclipse last August, or if you have a lot of those red-blue 3D glasses or dollar store sunglasses, gather them up and pass them out. You could also maybe get old glasses or those dollar store sunglasses and smear the lenses with petroleum jelly or soap or lotion or something. Essentially, what you're doing is you're giving people glasses that they put on that distorts their vision. So you either have no vision with the eclipse glasses, or you've got that red-blue shift with the 3D glasses, or you've got smeary vision with the other ones. And so have everybody put them on and then look at each other. And it's and notice the distortion, and then take them off, ta-da! And then talk about how we see each other much more clearly through the eyes of heaven than we do through our own biases and fears and interpretations.
Quite true. Quite true. One of our elders was talking about having that experience at our meeting last night, that she was praying for somebody that she really doesn't care for and tried to do it through the love of God and found that it was much more satisfying an experience.
I imagine so.
So there's your illustration to go along. Going on to Math Smart, we have a couple of things for you here. Lois Malcolm has a commentary on this passage at Working Preacher and includes some discussion of the double negation that happens in verses 10 through 16, which is, you know, most of this passage.
Yeah.
So she writes about it and says, God's promises are always a yes. Rooted in that yes, our lives can be an open statement of truth, regardless of where we find ourselves. And she directs us to Romans 8:28.
With those, whether life, death, sword, peril, nakedness, famine, yeah.
Yeah, more than conquerors.
More than conquerors.
In spite of all that. Mm-hmm. So then... thinking about the double negation, we also have a link for you to that and how the logic works out. And that's sort of what Paul is doing here, is setting up a double negation. So we have an there's an example on the website using Mr. Holmes and Dr. Watson. It goes something like this.
Let us suppose, my dear Watson, that Lord Greystoke was shot by Jack the Ripper.
If he was shot by Jack the Ripper, then Jack must have used a gun.
Indeed. So the Ripper must have used a gun.
That doesn't fit, Holmes, as Jack the Ripper never uses a gun on his victims.
If he never uses a gun on his victims, then he must not have used a gun.
So that must mean...
Yes, it's elementary. Lord Greystoke was not shot by Jack the Ripper.
Scene. There you have it.
That was a really bad Benedict Cumberbatch. I'm sorry.
Yes, it was. Didn't know that's who you were going for.
It
but
wasn't.
Okay.
And I was thinking to myself, I should probably have tried channeling him. It might have worked a little better. But anyway.
Basil Rathbone. So anyway, going on in verse 14, which is for the love of Christ urges us on because we are convinced that one has died for all and therefore all have died. And going on into verse 15, he died for all so that all who live might no longer live for themselves, but for the one who lives. So we have something like the distributive property of multiplication over addition here, which is, and so here's your mathiness. That's where you are multiplying, you're adding two numbers together and then multiplying the clump of them by another number.
It's all those parentheses and things.
Right, which is the same as multiplying each of the two numbers being added by the multiplier. And then adding them together.
Right.
It's also, and it's sort of like that. And it's sort of like the substitutionary property of equality, which is if A equals B, then you can put either A or B into any expression that uses either one of them.
And they'll be true.
And it will remain true. So Jesus is taking the place of the... Well, he's taking the place of all of us, basically. So that's where the substitution comes in.
Mm-hmm.
So if death is applied to
all
humans, then Jesus taking our place is equivalent.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how this works out.
Right. And then Jesus being raised
works the same way.
Right, right. So yeah. if he did A and B is true for him... then it's true for us too. I'm trying to do this in my head, and
things
are just
hard
swirling.
To do it. It is hard to do it in your head. So we've got I put together a couple of formulas for it, which probably aren't right, but we'll have those in the show notes for you. They're on the worksheet, and if you are math prone, they might make some sense to you. So I hope they will. So we've got one for the distributive property and one for the substitutionary property.
Right. Okay, moving on to Body Smart. We're looking at verse 7 about walking by faith, which of course immediately made me think of that scene in the Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade where Indiana is at the test in the cavern where he has to make a leap of faith And so Harrison Ford just stands there and he kind of puts his hand on his chest and he takes a deep breath and lifts his foot out and steps. And hey, there's a bridge there that he
spoiler,
didn't see.
Spoiler, spoiler, spoiler. Movie only came out 25 years ago.
So there's also some eye element in this, too, for the visual of the movie and also for that huge cavernous space. So there's an illustration for walking by faith. What?
30 years ago.
30. Yeah. It's a long time, honey. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Shh. It's OK. And then at verse six, for a special effect, at home in the body. So if you have time in your worship service, do some centering or breathing where you encourage people to be aware of their own bodies, like the tension in their shoulders or their jaws or any pain in their joints, and pay attention to their breathing and their heart rate. And if you think folks might be up to it, do a little visualization while you're at that, in which they're away from their bodies, but be sure to bring them back. Because yeah. You don't want a bunch of disembodied people wandering around. Although, you know.
No.
Well, okay. All
right. Well.
Go on.
For Music Smart, in verse 17, which is the last verse, that the old has passed away and the new has come. That always reminds me of the song, Everything Old is New Again. Right. So we have a link to that song, a version of that song, complete with the Rockettes, by the way.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, it's big and bold. Now, the message of the lyrics actually is the reverse of what Paul is doing.
Right.
Because it's saying the future's crap, and so let's go back
right.
and do that all again. And so
or the inevitability of the repetition of styles and fads, right? You know,
it's pretty explicit.
Oh, is it?
Yeah,
okay.
The future,
I don't really know that song.
I didn't either until I watched this clip and listened to the words. And it is pretty explicit in saying the future's junk, so let's go back and pull the old stuff out.
Gee.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's the opposite
of
what Paul is saying.
Absolutely.
But I can never get past that verse without thinking of that song. So for special effect, you might try taking the song and rewriting it to match the theology that Paul is working on here.
Get busy on that, dear.
I'll see what I can do. I have a long list.
Yes, you do. Well, at some point when you're on the train heading west to the observatories, you can work on that. Anyway, all right. So last one, self-smart. We got a special effect. And this is something you can encourage your congregation to do on their own time. And you can do this as well. Make a list of people you see differently because of Jesus, sort of like David's elder. And then praise God for them and for that experience of being able to see them differently. Or make a list of people you still look at through your human lens and ask God to help you look at them as Jesus does. This may take more than one session. And then thank God for them and also your new perspective.
Okay,
let's go on.
The gospel lesson for Year B, Ordinary 11, is Mark 4, verses 26 to 34. We've got a couple parables for you here from Jesus about the kingdom of God. The first is that someone goes out and scatters seed and then goes about his life. And meanwhile, the seeds grow and do their thing and produce heads of grain. And once it's ready, he goes in and harvests it. There you go. That's the kingdom of God. The other, of course, is
the way I do my gardening. All right, I planted it. Go, God. Do your thing.
Do your thing. And the other one is the mustard seed. So what more do we need to say about that than has been said? So getting into the parables here, and if you are a regular listener to our podcast and practitioner of what we pass along, then hey, I think you're a parable teller too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good season for us getting into the parables here. Okay, so we have 1, 2, 3, 4, a bunch of the intelligences here. So we've got word smart, special effect and the illustrations. We've got math smart illustration, little bit of music smart, a little bit of nature smart, actually a lot of nature smart.
A lot of nature smart.
Some people and some self. So let's go.
Okay, well, word smart. We have to do word smart because parables are word stories. Stories that bring... Well, anyway, a parable...
Very insightful.
Thank you. Thank you. So a parable, you use everyday objects and situations in life to make a deeper point about life and living. Read a couple of commentaries about it, and one of the ones that really stuck with me was from Justo El Gonzalez, who writes, "These two parables are preposterous. Literally, the end, posterior, before the beginning, pre." This is because Jesus is speaking of a different order. So what do we mean by that? So to illustrate what a parable is, it's a tall tale. And tall tales disengage our usual way of thinking and allow stories to present themselves in a fresh way. Paul Bunyan and Babe the Blue Ox didn't have a wrestling match that caused the Rockies. But isn't it fun to think about that? Or digging up with his giant shovel, dug out the Thousand Lakes in Minnesota, and then planted mosquitoes, apparently. Aesop's fables are a good illustration. They use animals to speak to human situations and morality. So the mustard seed part of this parable doesn't really play out as we know it in nature, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But Jesus may have been pushing the metaphor in order to stretch imaginations. Yes, the actual mustard seed plant has qualities that match the growing, spreading, invasive nature of the gospel's growth. So what we do then, maybe, is we just sit with these metaphors, these parables, and, well, let them grow.
Nah.
Ha ha. As we are able to hear it. So for a special effect, don't just read the parable, especially the mustard seed parable. Tell it. Sell it. It's an obvious and intentional exaggeration. Do it big, but with a twinkle in your eye.
For math smart, just briefly, we have a parable, a mathematical parable for you, the parabola. And we actually did this in year A. So we're just going to direct you there. So it was ordinary 16 year A. Matthew did this parable. And so take a look at that that post and our worksheet from there.
For music smart, the idea of some of this, particularly the first parable about the sower sowing his field and then going about his business, the growth is slow, but it's consistent. And so we've got an anthem called One Step by Pepper Choplin. You can go listen to that. It's really kind of cool. We've actually sung it at David's church. And we have two poems, one, The Seed of God by Meister Eckhart, and On the Parables of the Mustard Seed by Denise Levertov. And I hope I said that right.
Looks like it. For Nature Smart, the planting metaphor is perfect for how we grow as disciples. Someone plants a seed in us, and the Holy Spirit sends other people and experiences to nourish the seed, and other people, your experiences, and the Holy Spirit prune the growth and water the seed and all that sort of stuff, and one day you bear fruit. If you have gardeners, you might invite them to talk about that process a little bit. The mustard seed is, in fact, a fast-growing and invasive plant, as Molly mentioned. It doesn't get that large, though, and people who are familiar with it experience some dissonance with this parable, because it doesn't grow into something large enough that birds could build nests in, but they could nest in its shade, which I think it says here. So so there's that. So you might just acknowledge that dissonance, and that connects back with the word smart, that it, you know, the
exaggeration
of it.
Right.
So another illustration for you, another parable, if you will, is that the kingdom of God is like solar energy. The sun pours enormous amounts of energy onto our fields, entirely out of our control. And I think maybe that's part of what's going on in both of these parables.
It's out of our control?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We aren't doing it. We just reap the benefits. Mm-hmm. And so all we have to do with partner solar with energy it. Is collect it. And that's pretty much the same thing. So there you go. For special effects, particularly around verse 27, where things are sprouting and growing, then we have a link to a time-lapse video for you over 25 days of a bean sprouting and growing.
And they
set to music, Strauss's Blue Danube Waltz. So that's kind of fun. And we have another one that takes a look at lima beans sprouting with a good look at the roots. And so, as always, make good use of your gardeners and farmers in this situation.
The second video with the roots, mm-hmm. That one I like particularly because it really emphasized what's going on under the ground, because Jesus mentions that the farmer has, we don't know what it's doing. He just threw it out there and it does its thing. So this kind of gives you a really good visual experience of seeing the roots spread out and seek. And it's really kind of creepy the way they do it fast. It sort of reminded me of the Blob.
Ooh, right. Yeah. Okay. So also some eye smart in that by using the visuals. Yeah,
totally. Moving on to people smart for an illustration, we have a link to an article by Jenny Choi Tate in the Christian Century. She's talking about her dual perspective of this particular parable. She's got the Western perspective of, you know, you're the person out there, you sow the seed and you do everything you can to make this happen. And then you have the Eastern perspective of her family of, let it go. Yeah, this is the cycle of life. This is a quote from her article. "So I find some reassurance in this image of seed and soil interacting while we humans sleep. If the kingdom of God is like a seed, it is also like the soil that embraces and blankets the seed, protecting it from the elements through its fallow times until its time for fruition has come." So there's some really interesting natural images that people can sit with. So break into groups and discuss some of this, particularly as it's presented by Jesus. How did Jesus plant seeds in the disciples? How did the disciples then go off and plant seeds? How did someone plant a seed in you? How have you planted seeds? And this is an interesting one. It's kind of implied. When have you been fallow? Where have there been times when you've just sat and rested and let the nutrients rebuild in you?
Those are good questions. You'll want to be sure to point out to people that we're speaking metaphorically.
Yes. Yeah, because all your gardeners are going to go, oh, I did that in May.
Yeah. Because some people are very literal about these sorts of exercises.
Yes.
So I remember a luncheon where the speaker was talking about our spiritual journeys and kept talking about your journey and your journey. And one of the women at the back said, "Is she going somewhere?" So, yeah. Finally, for self-smart, we have another quote for you from Justo Gonzalez from Christian Century. "Within that little kernel of corn, or that even smaller grain of wheat, or that mustard seed to which the next parable refers, there is the memory of centuries of death and rebirth, the legacy of millennia through which the plant has come to be what it is. And even more surprisingly, there are all the instructions necessary to produce another plant just like the one from which the seed itself came." So that's kind of nice. You can make use of that. And self-smart reflection for the ways that is parabolic for mm-hmm. our lives, mm-hmm. metaphorical for our lives. And then going on with that, the DNA required for the plant to germinate, grow, flower, and bear fruit so that the next generation can come along is all right there in the seed itself, as Gonzalez refers to. Our faith is not as neatly packaged as a seed, perhaps, or it doesn't feel that way anyway. Mm-hmm. But in every act that nurtures or disciplines our faith, the cycle of growth and bearing fruit continues. So This also connects back to the Meister Eckhart poem in Music Smart, so be sure to take a look at that. And then finally, for a special effect, using the planting metaphor, can you identify the people who planted, nourished, and pruned your growth?
That's it for today's podcast. Please ask questions or leave us a comment on our website, www.morethanhearing.org, or facebook.com/morethanhearing, or tweet us at morethanhearing, or email us at connect@morethanhearing.org. If you tried any of these suggestions, or maybe even got an idea that you liked better than ours, please let us know what you did and how it went. We would love to hear how using this theory has made a difference in your preaching and worship.
Remember to check out the show notes, worksheets, links, and resources at our website. They go hand in glove with the podcast and give you lots more material to work with. Don't forget to subscribe using the links on the website for iTunes, Google Play, Android, or good old RSS, or just point your podcatching software at morethanhearing.org/feed/podcast. You can help others find us more easily by writing a review at the iTunes store, and of course you can share the show with your friends and colleagues. We'll be back with another episode next week, so in the meantime, stay subscribed
and be smart.
The number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
This is a Whippet Good production.
Do I need to say anything else about that? Okay.
No, that's fine.
Okay.